On the Record with Gavin Riley on News Talk.
This is News Talk's On the Record. Sean Defoe in for Gavin Riley today. Now, in recent weeks, you might have heard mention of the Republic's population growth and how, for the first time since 1851, our population has surpassed 5 million people. Migration, the pandemic, and more other things besides have influenced the increase. But historically, Irish census data, there's something of a conundrum, really, with a lot of the valuable information lost in literally the fires of revolution going up in smokes at the Four Courts in Dublin. And Donal Fallon is here for another edition of Hidden Histories to talk about all this. Donal, good to have you.
Good to be here. And firstly, before we get into it, congratulations to Gavin and Ciara. I hope he's taking a Sunday off, but I know he probably isn't. He's probably listening. So congrats to the two of them.
Yeah, I'm not sure Gavin ever takes a Sunday off, but hopefully as much as he does and can enjoy it. And yes, huge congratulations to them and welcome to the world, Blonard Riley. Donal, when I teased this at the start of the show, Hidden Histories is about the census today. It didn't sound the most exciting, so I'm relying on you to beef this up in the way that you do so well and so often. But the latest census returns that we were just talking about, something of an outlier, you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, the census, it's a really good indicator of where the country is at in a kind of whole variety of different ways. It gives us a sense of, you know, not only how long we're living, but where we're living, you know, and it can capture kind of broader trends and issues. And I think it's pretty interesting, this one, because it's undeniable, I think, that the leap to 5 million probably owes something to the very significant numbers of people. We all know lots of people who returned home during the pandemic, yeah, for example. So will those people stay or will they go? That remains to be seen. But, you know, alas, for now, we are more than 5 million strong in the Republic alone. And what's kind of mad is that if you add this new census to the most recent population estimate from the north of Ireland, collectively on the island, we're actually still below pre-famine levels of population, which I find just extraordinary in itself.
That's remarkable so long after. And there has, of course, given the numbers that are there, been a lot of talk about that kind of famine time, 1851 in particular, censuses.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about this census and 1851. The problem with the 1851 census is we can't really have a look at it because it was totally destroyed during the Civil War and the fighting in the Four Courts, which we'll talk about later on. It's really sad to think about that one in particular, because if you were to take 1841 and 51, you would see the very real impact of the famine on a community-by-community basis, on a street-by-street basis, and a parish-by-parish basis across the country. But that's gone. So, I mean, that's a really vital document to understand things like the level of migration and death from the island around the famine, and it's a loss that we still really keenly feel. But if you look at the history of the census in Ireland more broadly, there's all kinds of weird little stories. You know, people who deliberately hid from census takers for various reasons, and people, as we'll talk about today, who tried to use the census as a kind of form of protest.
And I suppose we're used to the, you know, you have your census every 5 years, I think, isn't it now? And it's a kind of very set and we're just used to it. But before that, there were lots of different reasons for actually taking a census.
Yeah, I think the one of the main reasons, you know, in times past was kind of political stability. You know, there was a reason that they wanted to know who was living here and you know, where they were living. And so one of the earliest censuses that we have in Ireland, or we did have, because sadly it went up in the Four Courts too, was from 1798, a guy called Reverend Whitelaw, who, incredibly, he was given the job by the Lord Mayor of Dublin of going around the city and getting a sense of just who was living where. The mayor had ordered the people of Dublin as a kind of security measure to affix a list of inhabitants to the front of their dwellings. Now, the problem was, you know, most people at the time were illiterate. Large chunks of the population were illiterate. So this guy, Reverend Whitelaw, goes and does it himself with this really small little team of people. He notes the number of the house, the number of the room, the state of repair, the size of the dwellings. I mean, can you imagine if the census today documented the size of homes, the social class of the inhabitants, their names, their date of birth, all this incredible stuff, the most detailed census ever done in this city. And unfortunately, it was lost in the Four Courts in 1922. But that came about, I suppose, because of a panic, you know, in 1798, a fear of revolution in the city. So I think that was often the reason for earlier censuses. This sense that you had to know who was living here and who they were living with.
It's sort of remarkable. It's such a treasure trove, or could be such a treasure trove of information had it actually survived. And even just to think then that this was basically done, a list of my enemies on every door in a kind of almost Father Ted's sense of it. But a lot of the information, so you've said we lost a lot of it, but there is a lot of it that is actually available and available online, available really easily accessible.
Yeah, the British state census begins in Ireland in 1821, and then every 10 years going forward, and two of them are online to browse in full. Brilliant website, census.nationalarchives.ie. the National Archives and Katrina Crow, who did such great work there, got it up online. And it's really easy to get lost in that. And I should say, I mean, you don't have to be good with technology to have fun with this. It's very, very easy to use. But you can see who lived in your house or on your street. And then it's really fun to try and find your kind of your own relations in it. But the only two that we have online in full are 1901 and 1911.
Why are some women impossible to find in the 1911 census?
There's this campaign across Britain and to a lesser extent in Ireland by kind of suffragettes in 1911. And they make the point that, you know, we're invisible in the eyes of the state. You know, the state won't give us the right to vote. It will tax us, but won't give us the right to vote. And they argue, if we're invisible in the eyes of the state, why should we partake in its census? So there's this decision taken by suffragettes in Britain and here in Ireland to boycott the 1911 census. And they literally go into hiding, you know, in all kinds of places. And one Irish suffragette described it as constitutional and eminently ladylike as a form of protest. So there's some very prominent kind of Irish women of the early 20th century. Hannah Sheehy Skeffington, who was one of the leading feminists of her day, and she's just not in the census at all. And in England, one suffragette hid in a totally brilliant place to hide, actually, if you're hiding from the census and you're a suffragette. She hides in Westminster. She breaks into Parliament and she hides in a cupboard on the night. And in recent times, the late Tony Benn, MP, actually put a plaque in the very cupboard that English suffragette hid in. But there were some kind of women in the 1911 census in Ireland who were playful with their protest. There's two sisters in South Dublin who list their religion as suffragettes, for example.
Oh, that's a great little anecdote. It's funny as well in these censuses, and you see it even now when we're talking about should you still have religion, what should you be able to say on the census about yourself. But you see this kind of social change coming in, and we can see that in the 01 and 11 censuses as well.
Yeah, because they ask people for the first time in these early 20th century census, they ask them if they can speak Irish. So the Irish language is kind of making its way into the census. And you get people filling the whole thing out in kind of beautiful old Gaelic script, which is a nightmare for the bureaucrats. You know, it's made it really difficult for digitizing these things. You know, people often can't find their grandfather or their great-grandfather, but he may have written his name in kind of old Gaelic script, and you have to keep trying. Eventually, you find them. But Sean McDermott pops up in the 1911 census, of course, later executed for his role in the Rising. He fills the whole thing in Irish, but his answers are brilliant. Under marital status, he lists himself as single, but not for long. And for religion, he wrote, Na Siúin Tochtú Na Héireann, or Irish nationalist. So the Irish language gave people all kinds of ways in which they could play with the census, and you see plenty of that.
Sadly, though, a lot of it did come undone in 1921. No census, and then the destruction of most of the earlier ones.
Yeah, with the War of Independence in full swing, there was no chance of taking a census in 1921. I mean, Ireland was in total turmoil. Too many people were on the run from their own abodes for various reasons. And of course, you would have had a very big kind of British Army garrison presence in the country. So it wouldn't have given a real reflection of the country. So they didn't do it at all. But then the tragedy of the revolution comes the following year. The forecourts are shelled in Dublin. That was the building where the National Archives at the time, the Public Records Office, was kept. And for whatever reason, it seems that the IRA were storing arms and ammunition in the Public Records Office. This could only really end in one way, couldn't it, when the shelling of the building begins. One of the IRA men who was in the forecourts, he describes it really beautifully, Ernie O'Malley. He looks out the window and he says, a thick black cloud floated up and about the building and drifted away slowly, fluttering up and down against the black mass where leaves of white paper. They looked like hovering white birds. And of course, they weren't white birds. They were the pages of Ireland's historic census. 1821, 31, 41, 51, amongst other things, just up in smoke. And they say that people were picking up pages from those census returns as far away as the Hill of Howth. So this was just, you know, decades upon centuries of Irish important genealogical history just lost like that.
Such a loss to history, really, when you think about it, aside from everything else that went on at that time. What about other censuses in the past? Can we expect to be able to see more of them digitised and more of them online, very available to browse, and maybe people check their genealogy, etc.?
Well, thank God for digitization, you know, in terms of going forward, that we will never sustain another loss quite like that. But yeah, I mean, there is a demand, a growing demand, to get the 1926 census up online. That'd be great, because it would be the first from an independent Ireland, and it would give us kind of good insight into a post-revolutionary society, you know, the winners and the losers, who stayed, who left. But, you know, more recent ones, obviously for like reasons of data privacy, we don't get access to those census returns in detail, but we just get the kind of broad sweeping facts of them. And they can be interesting too. Like, we know that in 61, the Republic's population hit a low of just 2.8 million, which is extraordinary. You know, that tells us everything about the economy of the island at that moment in time. And even from this latest one, the little bits that they've given us, it's incredible to me. 1.43 million people estimated as Dublin's population, city and county. That's more than a quarter, 28.5% of the country's total population. So you can see a lot about the island of Ireland, what's good and what's bad, even from the little bits of information that they give us now. But for any listener to this, I mean, get on to the 1901, 1911 census returns. It's a really, really good way to familiarise yourself with archives, but it's also just great fun. It's really, really enjoyable. Plenty of messers in there. I mean, when I was digging through it myself, I found Patrice Cullen, a dog. Someone managed to sneak their dog into the census. He's listed as Catholic and unable to read and write, but he apparently speaks Irish. And Sean McDermott, you know, who filled that one in, as we talked about earlier on. There's just so many great messers and protesters and the like to find in those census returns. And it's always fun to see if you can find your granny or your great-granny too.
Yeah, plenty of messers. Very Irish census returns by the sound of it. And that is remarkable to see where we've come in just 60 years. 2.8 million, now almost double that in the country at the minute. Whether that sticks, as Donal said, because of the pandemic and everything else. But look, a fascinating tour through the census there. My thanks to Donal Fallon, the author of the Come Here To Me books and the host of the Three Castles Burning podcast. That's it for me today. Off the Ball is up here next on News Talk. My thanks to the production team, JJ Clark and Stephen Jordan, with Jojo Cardozo on sound. Enjoy your Sunday.